10. Priory of St. Justin, City of Manchir, Princedom of Coruscant. Adrian Wyman leaned back in his chair and rubbed weary eyes. The messages and reports in front of him were beginning to blur when he tried to read them, and common sense was trying to insist it was time he took himself off to bed. He could still get a couple of hours' sleep before dawn, and Langhorne knew he needed them. There never seemed to be enough hours in a day. That was true for any intendant, even when he operated openly from his office in his archbishop's palace. When he was forced to discharge his duties from hiding, skulking about lest the very secular authorities who were supposed to obey his instructions find him and drag him before an apostate archbishop, the situation could only get worse. Still, he reflected wryly, lowering his hand, there are at least some compensating factors, aren't there? The loss of the semaphore, for example. He snorted. I may have to worry about little things like the damnation of lost souls, being captured and tried for treason, being executed, minor concerns like that. But at least the damned message traffic's been cut way down. His lips twitched at his own feeble attempt at humor, yet there was more than a little truth to it. He was as secure here at St. Justin's as he could have been anywhere in conquered Coruscant, and the truth was that he had little fear of being betrayed to the authorities. That wasn't quite the same thing as no fear, yet it came close. And as the resistance movement spread here in the city, his feelers and information channels continued to spread and grow with it. Yet even though that meant a steadily increasing flow of messages and reports, his lost access to Mother Church's semaphore stations had completely cut him off from events in the rest of the princedom. The handful of dispatches which had reached him here from Bishop Executor Thomas Schiller, smuggled in by trusted couriers, were both short and cryptic. Compared to the smooth, almost instant communication he'd been accustomed to before the Carisian invasion, it was like being rendered deaf and blind. He didn't like it at all, and he especially didn't like it because of how little he knew about what was truly happening outside Manchir. What do you mean, he told himself, is that you worry about it because you don't really trust Bishop Thomas's ability to manage something like this. He's not the sharpest bishop you've ever served, is he? But at least he's determined to do something, instead of selling himself to the Carisians, and that's nothing to sneeze at, Adrian. Indeed it wasn't, and to be fair to the deposed Bishop Executor, the contacts he'd apparently established with people like Earl Stormkeep, Earl Deep Hollow, and Baron Larchrose sounded far more promising than Wyman would have anticipated, even a few months earlier. Of course, Wyman didn't have any real details on just how Bishop Executor Thomas and his secular allies were coming, or exactly what it was they had in mind, and he'd been excruciatingly careful not to record a single word about them in writing, even here. It didn't really matter, though. His own instructions had come from the Grand Inquisitor himself, issued as a precaution well before the Carisian invasion. Schiller knew, roughly, what those instructions were, and Wyman didn't doubt he was factoring that knowledge into his and his new allies' plans. But whatever they might be up to didn't change Wyman's mission. And Vicar Jaspar was right, the intendant reminded himself yet again. What happens up north is important, maybe even critical, but what happens right here in Manchir is even more important. It's not just the capital, it's the biggest city in the entire princedom, and every other city and town is watching to see what happens here. If this Regency Council and Caleb's Viceroy General can't maintain their control here, then the rest of the princedom's going to be a lot more willing to challenge them. He sat forward once again and reached for the next report. In some ways, he hated writing any of this down, even though he was careful to use code names known only to him, to identify most of his agents. Written records weren't the safest thing for a conspirator to keep lying around, but without them, he would quickly have lost the ability to keep track of his own operations. It was a matter of striking the best balance he could between security and efficiency. He frowned as he read through the memo which had worked its way to the top of the current pile. It was from Albert Comming, and Adrian Wyman was very much in two minds where Comming was concerned. The man was undoubtedly capable, and he'd proved extraordinarily useful in the past. Unfortunately, one reason he'd proved so useful was that, so far as Wyman could tell, he was completely untrammeled by anything remotely like a scruple. He was, quite simply, a professional assassin. One of the best assassins money could buy, which was the very reason Wyman was ambivalent where he was concerned. Money had bought him Comming services. It was always possible that more money, from another source, would buy Comming's betrayal. And if Albert Comming chose to betray Wyman, the consequences could be catastrophic, since only Comming knew the true identity of the man who'd actually bought and paid for Prince Hector's assassination. Wyman had considered having Comming quietly eliminated. In fact, he'd considered it quite often, but he never had. First, because Comming continued to prove so useful and energetic. Indeed, Wyman was tempted to conclude that Comming cherished a genuine, if somewhat anemic, devotion to Mother Church, although the intendant wouldn't have been prepared to wager any enormous sum on the probability. But the second reason Wyman had so far refrained from arranging the assassin's permanent disappearance was the suspicion that Comming had made his own arrangements to protect himself. It would have been just like the man to tuck away evidence linking Wyman, and by extension the Grand Inquisitor himself, to Hector's murder. Wyman could think of several ways Comming could have arranged things so that any such evidence would find its way into the hands of the occupation if he himself should suffer a mischief. And the intendant was certain Comming was more than sufficiently inventive to have come up with quite a few approaches which hadn't even occurred to him.